This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. On January 14th, Jerrica White was in Jefferson City again. For the last several years, she and other advocates have come to the state's capital. They talk to lawmakers, they testify in hearings on bills, but they've also come to share their grief. That message comes in the shape of a memorial tree holding dozens of paper hearts, each inscribed with the names of just some of the hundreds of people who have died in recent years in a Missouri prison. Last year, the number of deaths came to at least 108, and that's alarmed advocates like Rica White because Missouri's prison population is lower than it has been in decades. With fewer people straining the system, the logic goes, there should be fewer deaths. But that's not happening. And that's why Rica White has been showing up at the Capitol. Rica is the Criminal Justice Policy Manager at the nonprofit Empower Missouri, and she joins me now. Rica, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Good morning, or good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for joining us. Now, Rica, you spend a lot of time in the state's capital advocating on a lot of different issues, and you actually were there just yesterday. But I want to ask first about a House committee hearing earlier this month, a hearing that you actually played a role in, and that's because you spend a lot of time looking into the state of health care in Missouri's prisons. How did you become involved in this effort, Jerrica? What motivated you to look at prison healthcare?
Just really the news, actually. I know a lot of directly impacted people. I have personal family members who also are incarcerated, and just hearing the horror stories of what's going on inside of the prisons across the state really made me start to dig in a little bit more about what was going on. My role as a criminal justice policy manager, one of my priorities is oversight, and that will provide a separate independent office of transparency to corrections and Department of Corrections within the state of Missouri. Missouri Department of Corrections currently does not have an oversight board. That is one thing that we are working on. So it really is just a lack of transparency for loved ones, for those who are incarcerated, and just for the whole entire community as to what's going on inside of the facilities across mm-hmm. the state.
So the number of deaths in Missouri prisons, is that something that is related to the way healthcare is being provided or not being provided there?
I believe so, and I know my counterpart, ML, will be on to speak about it because she does lead the In Custody Death campaign throughout the state, and she has for a long time. I actually have learned a lot from her, and just thinking of the In Custody Deaths, I know 2024 was a record-breaking number. The data that she received, because she does the Sunshine Request every month for the data around in-custody deaths, it reached over 108 as of November 30th of 2025. But I know well after that, December and going into this new year of 2026, we're starting to see the same patterns again mm-hmm. of consistently over 100 deaths or more every year for the last few years. Mm-hmm. And I will say a lot of that has to do with the lack of health care and the lack of oversight.
So right now, health care in Missouri's prisons is being provided by Centurion Health, correct? Can you talk a little bit about Centurion Health and what we need to know about it before we continue the conversation?
Centurion Health is a private medical contract provider for Department of Corrections. Originally, it was Corizon, but I will say a lot of the times how medical contracting works is they will have a new contractor, but it will almost be like the same staff or similar staff who will go into the next name. So a lot of the staff from Corizon has switched over to Centurion Healthcare and so on and so forth. So it is a medical staff that it's supposed to have contractual agreements. When I broke down the contract, there's standard agreements between the Department of Corrections in Missouri and Centurion Health. However, we've started to see timelines in the contract for services like dental visits. They're supposed to give physicals for the incarcerated individuals who are in there, and you know, different things like that, daily adequate health care that they're supposed to provide for those who are incarcerated.
Mm-hmm. Jerrica, I started our show by mentioning something about Jefferson City and your being at a hearing on January 14th. And you were there when Trevor Foley, director of the Missouri Department of Corrections, faced questions from lawmakers about Centurion Health. And again, that's the contractor that provides medical care in Missouri's prisons. Centurion is paid more than $200 million to provide that care. Now, at one point in the hearing, Director Foley described the performance standards that Centurion has to meet under its contract with the state. And Representative Greg Bush of Columbia asked for the full list of those standards, but then ask a pointed question.
Okay. I would love to see what that list is. Is any of them mortality?
No.
Okay. So that's not actually a measure that we're measuring from our healthcare vendor?
Not in terms of the outcome.
Okay. Not in terms of the outcome. Okay.
So that was Trevor Foley, director of the Missouri Department of Corrections, testifying earlier this month to the Missouri House Corrections Committee, and we also heard the voice there of Representative Greg Bush of Columbia. Rika, what was it like to hear that exchange?
I was actually very shocked by it. I know ML is probably well-versed as far as like the prisoner rights and everything because she's been advocating well over a decade or more for this. But for me, I was very shocked that that was not in terms of the outcome and how comfortably Director Foley was able to just say it, like, oh, nope, that was not in the terms of the outcome. I mean, considering that, you know, it's been so many just, like, fires that's been going on across all the 19 prisons that's happening in the prison population and all the people that have died consistently year after year after year, for that to not be a measure is very concerning.
Mm-hmm. And it is notable that part about mortality and that not being one of the outcomes, it was enough for a Missouri Independent article to make it its headline. I'd like to introduce another voice to this conversation. ML Smith is the founder of the Missouri Justice Coalition. ML, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Elaine, very much. I'm really glad to be with you this afternoon.
Mm-hmm, thank you. ML, you have worked for years documenting deaths in Missouri prisons. This is something that Rika has mentioned earlier. And you were there with Rika during that January 14th hearing. What was your reaction to hearing the Missouri Prisons Director explain that deaths aren't a performance measure for the provider of prison health care?
You know, interestingly enough, I can't say I was shocked per se. You know, DOC has been a system that has been very non-transparent for a very long time, which is one of our problems. So, you know, Director Foley naming that to the committee, I'm glad that was done because I know that several of the committee members, not just Representative Bush, but several others, are surprised by the fact that the health care provider does not actually track the outcomes of much of its health care. That's pretty surprising to them. I knew that before, but again, it's a measure that DOC has been not transparent with a lot of things within the health as the safety and the outcomes in other areas of our so I'm glad it is now known, you know, that the director actually stated it himself because things like that, you know, I'm just as there are, I'm an advocate and I'm biased, but I am thankful that he put that in the space so that hopefully meeting members will want to look into the outcomes of mortality and why that is not a metric. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this is a step in the right direction.
ML, you also had a chance to testify at this committee and to respond to some of the things that Director Foley shared. What did you want these lawmakers to understand?
Well, what I want them to understand is that as elected officials in the state, they have a statutory duty to oversee every department within our state government. And the prison system, Missouri Department of Corrections, is one of the departments that they are obligated to oversee. So I want them basically to do their jobs. You know, every state department, the Department of Education, the transportation, all of these have come under scrutiny from the elected officials of this state about their outcomes, you know, what exactly are they doing with the money they're getting, so on and so forth. One except DOC. The DOC is the only state department that has not faced scrutiny of our elected officials. So I first want to, you know, have them understand that this is your job. You are supposed to be overseeing the DOC as other departments. And lastly, want them to understand that, you know, rehabilitation is all of our goals, right? But what's happening within the DOC at this point is not, you know, very humane or going towards the goals of rehabilitating people incarcerated. People are suffering greatly, and our elected officials do not understand that or do not know that. So this is something they really have to address as part of, you know, this rehabilitative efforts. It's not happening. And I'm actually at the Capitol right now and have heard several elected officials talk about, you know, will keep coming back and forth to prison and they're in for their fourth, fifth, and sixth time. And what I stated to one of the elected officials, that's a failure of the system. We can't just, you know, we just can't say incarcerated keeps coming back to prison and it's all their fault. What a person said that they're going to rehabilitate people. So if they're not that and a person keeps returning to prison, there's a systemic failure. So let's address those things.
Mm-hmm. There's also the issue of deaths, right? And when these deaths were occurring, like at what point in some of these incarcerated people's lives, wasn't there?
Yeah, so the in-custody deaths of Missouri incarcerated population has greatly increased over probably the 15 years. And interestingly enough, we had more people in prison, you know, in the mid-2000s. There were approximately 30,000 people incarcerated in our state, and they averaged like between 70 and 75 deaths a year, which one is too many. So I'm not saying that 70 or 75, you know, is a great number. However, you know, there were less. But now there are a little bit over 23,000 people incarcerated in our state. And in 2024, there were 139 deaths. So we're almost double the amount of deaths, even though, you know, the percentage of people incarcerated has gone down. So why is that? Then there's a reason. We need to get to that reason and deal with it. So the death rate has gone up, even though our population incarcerated has gone down. And this is something that our elected officials, as well as the DOC, needs to work towards alleviating. And it's not going to happen if you're telling me that the medical provider doesn't even track the mortality. Mm-hmm. You have to start tracking things, understanding why this is happening in order for you to deal with this issue.
Well, the other thing also is the age of some of these people's, the people who have died in custody.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the classification of their deaths, ML?
That's very concerning. And when you hear the number of so many people have died in custody of DOC, your first thought is, oh, well, those are old people, you know, and dying of natural causes, et cetera. That's not true at all. A lot of people who are dying in custody are younger, under 40 years old. I've seen people who are in their 30s. Even people that recently were incarcerated, because the list that he sends, it has their incarceration date. So if a person was incarcerated in April and they're dead in October, what is going on here, right? And they were 35 or 37, which is one particular person's situation. So, you know, these are not necessarily deaths of people who are old or sick. These are definitely people who are younger, people who are going inside healthy. And, you know, because of, and I won't say it's all medical concerns, but whatever is happening inside, we need to understand it. And some of that is medical related and people are not being treated properly, you know, that are not being sent out to the specialists and the doctors, you know, cancer doctors or other doctors they're supposed to. Their health care is definitely being neglected. And we need to understand, because we have younger people in our prisons that are dying. And, you know, those things can be addressed. It's not simply, they were old and they passed away, you know, quietly in their sleep. No, that's not the case at all.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a very quick break here, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with ML Smith, founder of the Missouri Justice Coalition, and Rika White, criminal justice policy manager at Empower Missouri. We've been discussing recent years' record high numbers of deaths among people incarcerated in Missouri prisons and efforts to reform prison health care. Before the break, we talked about Centurion Health, and that is the company that has a $200 million contract with the state of Missouri to provide health care in the state's prisons. However, Centurion Health did not have any representative to testify at that hearing that we were talking about on January 14th. ML or Rika, what questions do you still have for Centurion? Let's start with you, Rika.
My question is, who oversees them? Because that was not really clarified. I know through the contractual agreement, Department of Corrections is supposed to oversee them, but what does that actually look like? If we need an oversight board for the DOC, then what does that look like, them actually overseeing Centurion Health? In the hearing, we heard that they were getting fined, and I know their fines are up to $3 million. I don't know what the monthly breakdown of the fines is or what their consistent fines are, but I would love to hear about that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. ML, were you surprised or taken aback that there was no company representative at that January 14th hearing that you both attended?
I actually was surprised. So in preparation for the hearing, there was a request that a representative of Centurion attend, and that did not happen. But I am aware that the day before the hearing, there were several representatives from Centurion in the building, and I mean the Capitol, who did speak to the chairman of the committee, Representative Mayhew, as well as Representative Kimberly Ann Collins, who is, you know, this is something that she's very dedicated to. So members of Centurion did come in to speak with them, but I received reports from both electeds that they didn't learn a lot. You know, Centurion representatives talked in circles. They actually said they didn't know certain things, right? Representative Collins said she asked that representative, you know, from the company a few questions, and they had no answers. So that's very, very problematic that you come to answer questions. And again, it was deflection because they didn't attend the hearing, but they came to their offices. But again, they still, you know, had very minimal answers and said, oh, we have to get back to you on certain things. So we would love to have heard, you know, those responses from Centurion in the hearing, which we didn't. In the reports I received about those meetings, not a lot was actually shared. Mm-hmm.
And I should note that our show reached out to Centurion Health earlier this week with questions about Foley's statement and what it meant for its medical staff that there was no performance standard for the mortality of their patients. We did not hear back. Rika, earlier today, you provided our show with statements from two former employees of Centurion Health. The employees asked us not to use their full names out of fear of professional retaliation. Dana was one of them. Dana said she left because of, quote, chronic understaffing, excessive mandatory overtime, and unsafe working conditions. She also said that there is, quote, a clear disconnect between Centurion's stated values and what is actually happening in these Missouri prisons. Rika, in your estimation, what is the reason for that disconnect?
Lack of transparency and accountability. And that's why I keep going back to the need for oversight, because time and time again, as ML said, the DOC has done this for decades, like, and they're going to continue if no one holds them accountable. So I was very, I was commending, you know, Representative Mayhew for even allowing this, because this was a rare occurrence. They have never had an informational hearing as it relates to the DOC. So this was a major first step into, you know, potentially having oversight. Mm-hmm. And I will say I do track data as far as lawsuits, and lawsuits you will see in the lawsuits, there are so many settlements stemming from a range of serious issues, including like hostile work environments, sexual assaults, employee discrimination, and other, you know, overall poor conditions within the correctional facility. So I do think that this is just something that no one is really focused on in the legislature, and they need to focus a little bit more on the breakdown of it. Mm-hmm. Because when we talked to Director Foley about self-care and staff retention rates, his staff were not going to want to be there if the same former staff were creating lawsuits against the DOC.
Dana had also mentioned that she was injured on the job. From what you have heard, Rika, are these nurses and medical staff in unsafe conditions?
Yes, I will say some of them have been placed in very unsafe and trying conditions, being in a wing by themselves for, you know, lack of staff. And, you know, they're trying to do their job. Those who are incarcerated who need health care, it's just a really chaotic environment because they're upset, rightfully so, that they've been waiting so long for health care, whether that was medication, whether that was a follow-up, some people needing to go to the doctor. So these nurses and staff are being put under a lot of pressure and stress from overall just the lack thereof inside of the facilities.
Mm-hmm. And a second former Centurion employee anonymously provided a statement that claimed they were, quote, routinely pushed beyond reasonable limits and expected to do the work of multiple people with little to no support. ML, do you know of other companies or states that are considered a success when it comes to prison health care? I mean, are there examples that Missouri, you know, can and should be looking at?
Thank you for the question, Elaine. Interestingly enough, a lot of the research I've done, and like Rika was talking about with lawsuits specifically around health care, there are so many. So it's difficult to say that we found successes, but what I can say is, which is what I said in the hearing, I think that it's not necessarily about finding a good company per se, but a company that will adhere to its contractual obligations. Because, you know, Centurion made a contract and they're not upholding that. Our previous provider, which was Corizon, similarly situated, they made contracts with Missouri and other states. And the number of lawsuits I found around Corizon's treatment of people nationwide was just horrible, honestly. Like, they have been sued hundreds of times from Hawaii up to Maine for, you know, their health care issues. So they're not necessarily any better. I will say, you know, there has to be some options. There was a time where Missouri conducted its own health care. It didn't contract it out, similar to what the federal government does, the Federal Bureau of Prisons. They actually, you know, handled their own health care. So maybe Missouri will need to go back to doing something on that, you know, along those lines of handling health care, you know, within the state and other departments that we have. But I can't say I found a great example. I found a lot of different lawsuits from specifically Corizon and Centurion combined have had literally hundreds of lawsuits across the nation.
Mm-hmm. ML, your organization, Missouri Justice Coalition, it began a campaign several years ago called Triple Digit Deaths. Why did you start this campaign?
Yes. So I started the Triple Digit Deaths campaign in December of 2023. And the reason I started it was because I first, you know, over time saw that the numbers of deaths in our prison were astronomical. One of the highest in the country, actually. Missouri, to folks in Missouri, a prisoner died more, you know, many other states if we were in the top 10. And so I was, you know, ruminating in my mind around how I can uplift this issue, because our elected officials, they say they don't know, you know, the media doesn't know, the community didn't know. So I was thinking about that. But what pushed me over the edge, Elaine, was the murder of Mr. Othell Moore Jr. Killed in Jefferson City Correctional Center by several guards. He was basically tortured to death. They maced him extensively, like a whole can of the mace. And then after they maced him, they put what we call a spit hood over his head, and he basically suffocated. And when it happened in December 23, you know, I received calls from people inside. I also was able to speak to Mr. Moore, who was devastated not only at the fact that you know, her brother had died, but she couldn't get any answers. When she called the prison and asked, you know, what's going on with my brother, they basically hung up on her. So after that, I was like, you know what, I really need to do something. So I had the name Triple Digit Deaths because it occurs to me more than one people are dying in our prison system every single year, and literally nobody is doing anything about it, paying attention to it, or trying to get some type of accountability out of the. So that is when the Triple Digit Deaths campaign started. And sadly, a week later, after Mr. Moore was put in prison, we had a community member incarcerated, Michael Hudson. He was in prison. And so I've been in contact with both of their families. Michael's mother is still today fighting for her son. So, you know, just the fact that this has been going on, it's happening. And when these two stories came across, need to do something. So I created the campaign and went about trying to bring attention to this issue, especially among our elected officials. Collins has been going into our prison system for many years, but, you know, we pushed some other elected officials to go, and Rep. Collins also takes some electeds in as well, for having them visiting these prisons, speaking to people inside, and really getting an understanding around the atrocities that are happening inside of Missouri prisons on a daily basis was very necessary.
Mm-hmm. There's clearly much more to talk about, but we appreciate your time today. ML Smith is the founder of the Missouri Justice Coalition, and Rika White is the criminal justice policy manager at the nonprofit Empower Missouri. Rika and ML, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.